The weather was a joy. And, you know, it's one of those jobs, for me anyway, there's that old saying that when you do something you love, you've never worked a day in your life.
Right.
And that was it. I started, as you know, kind of by accident. I had my weather training in the U.S. Air Force just after the Korean War. I mean, immediately after the Korean War is when I went in. And so I got my weather training there, and I never thought it would help me. And this is some advice maybe to everybody. Keep in your quiver and in your Rolodex everything you ever did in your life, because you never know when it's going to affect your life better. So I got into, as you know, local broadcasting in Missoula, Montana, for television. Well, Helena first, the only job from which I've ever been really fired, because in those days, Tom Shue would be, he'd probably be going crazy, and everybody would too. We had to slip start our own records. We had to twirl the Magnacorder tape recorders to cue up a tape. And also talk as though nothing else was happening. You had to be an octopus. So I was not a tech-oriented guy. And the guy who owned the radio station said, Barry, he said, you have great talent. He said, but to be an engineer and an announcer, forget it.
We're holding you back.
Yeah. So anyway, he had a friend in Missoula, Montana, who owned a TV station over there, the CBS affiliate. And the guy hired me. I started, by the way, my first radio job, 1957, $55 a week. And you could live on $55 a week in 1957.
I wonder what that would be in, we'll have to do the converter to see what that is in 2013 dollars.
Yeah, probably $56, I would assume.
Well, for which country?
Easily that. But anyway, so I went to Missoula, and he hired me for $60 a week to be a switcher, director, announcer, but in a different vein, because you weren't constantly announcing with TV.
Mm.
So about a month after I started, he said, do you know anything about the weather? Bing.
Well, I know it's sunny outside. I know it's cloudy outside.
So I said, yeah, as a matter of fact, I had a little weather certificate, meteorological technician in the U.S. Air Force. So he said, fantastic. He said, we're starting a newscast. CBS in those days had Douglas Edwards doing the CBS evening news for 15 minutes. And then the remainder of the stations were supposed to fill. Somebody's shooting at me already.
Sorry about that.
Anyway, I promise I'll shut up. Just keep missing, will you?
So, good morning, Zoo Radio here. All of a sudden.
Yeah, this is dangerous. He said, do it any way you want to do it. So all they had for me was literally a green blackboard with an outline of the United States and chalk. And I had to walk into my own camera after signing myself on, and the newscaster had already been doing his news. So I walk in, and I start doing the report, and I thought to myself, gee, you're not looking at your audience. You should look back. And the camera was pedestaled downward, so I had to look back and kind of peek around at it and then tilt my head. And I kept peeking around at the camera to keep eye contact with the audience. So I heard the news guy, he was wonderful too. He was laughing across the studio, and I thought, oh, brother. So anyway, I get off the first weather forecast, and the boss called up. He said, Barry, you keep peeking around at that camera. He said, you'll be the peekaboo weatherman and make a lot of money the rest of your life. I said, thank you.
Blessing and a curse at the same time, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know what the curse was. It was fun, and, you know, when I was hired at KSTP, it was from Las Vegas, and
right,
I was
right.
doing weather out there in a talk show and news, actually. And the ad said, personality weatherman. Wanted Upper Midwest television station, didn't give the name. So Bob Newhart was the one who had convinced me to look for a bigger market, because in those days, Vegas was like the 125th market.
Yeah, nothing what it is today. I mean, it was a desert. I mean, the casino was there, but it was a small spot in the desert. People didn't live there. They vacationed there.
Well, we lived there, but it was not the lovely...
The development wasn't there that is there today.
Well, I mean, now it's too big.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Joan Rivers and I were talking about that when she was here a couple of weeks ago. I knew Joan from the old days, and she said, I hate it now. She said, it's too big, it's not friendly anymore stuff. One of my Shirtail Ants moved there in 1907, 2 years after Las Vegas was founded in 1905, because the Union Pacific wanted a railroad stop between Salt Lake City and Los Angeles. They were giving land away. So anyway, Aunt Ora had a boarding house there for a lot of years, and then she left. But in the 1950s, when I first started going there, it was incredible. Everything was free.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, free meals, shrimp cocktails were 49 cents. I mean, it was...
Well,
why can't those days come back?
Because Steve Wynn figured out a way to make everything a lot more than 49 cents.
Well, let me tell you about Steve Wynn, if I may.
You may.
During my days on television in Washington, D.C., I lived in Potomac, Maryland. And as I've said many times to you, and you know, Ted Koppel was one of my
neighbors.
And same with Peter Jennings and his wife. But anyway, at the bank, I was in the bank one day in the Maryland Mall, and the banker, the bank manager, her name was Linda Diddle. I'll never forget that name. But anyway, she said, Barry, she said, there's a lady who has a son out in Las Vegas who I think owns a little nightclub out there. You and she should meet. Her name is Selma Wynn.
Huh.
So I said, fine, let's meet for lunch. So I had a little lunch in this very unassuming cafeteria or cafe near the bank. And Mrs. Wynn and I were talking, and she said, oh, I watch you on TV all the time, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. And I said, I understand your son owns a little nightclub out in Las Vegas. She said, yeah, he owns a little club called the Golden Nugget. And I thought,
little club.
Just a little club.
Yes, one of those tiny little, I thought she was going to say the El Dumpo nightclub or something.
Well, at least she's humble.
Well, listen, they were big into gambling in Maryland before Steve struck it rich in Las Vegas. But anyway, so then Steve, because I knew Selma, his mother, I got to talk to him once in a while. Well, he tore down the original Golden Nugget sign, which would be like in New York Harbor tearing down the Statue of Liberty,
mm-hmm.
because that was an icon. Whenever you saw Las Vegas, picture of Fremont Street, it would always be the Golden Nugget. And he tore it down to build this very un-Fremont Street-like place to replace the Golden Nugget. It's still the Golden Nugget, but different architecture. And I called, and his secretary said, Barry, you're the only one who's complained. I said, well, that means I'm the only smart one.
Well, there you go.
But luckily, luckily, the sign is still preserved in a warehouse. But anyway.
A warehouse till the warehouse gets foreclosed on and they end up at an auction, and then it'll be in someone's backyard.
Yeah.
My guess is Bears of Ann. This is Flashback Twin Cities. We'll take a break. We'll be back at 12:20 KLBB. We are back on Flashback Twin Cities. I am Tom Osmond with my guest, Barry Zavan. And Barry, here's why I said peekaboo is a blessing and a curse, because I'm guessing you've been to the grocery store, the Red Owl, or the country club market, and someone's like, hey, peekaboo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's funny, I always made a joke that, you know, if I ever became king of France, they'd still say, oh, the peekaboo weatherman.
Aren't you next?
But it's good to be known for something.
I thought you were next in line for King of France.
That's it's a big success. It's a big secret, but only you and I know now,
well,
right?
Not us and the millions of listeners that are listening here over the world.
Worldwide. I bet you are. I bet this. I love KLBB, by the way. I love it. I love everything they did. I hosted, as you know, Weekends on Music of Your Life for mm-hmm. 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter Marshall is a dear friend of mine. In fact, when I'm in L.A. and Sherman Oaks and stuff, we see each other all the time. And it's just he's phenomenal, and he's still – I think Music of Your Life is not on this station anymore. Is that correct?
It's Music of Your Generation. Is the new generation. So we have a lot of the old standards plus some baby boom generation music and some music from even the 90s. It's a great mix of – old and new, and it's really great.
Is Reed Hagen still here?
Reed Hagen no longer works here, actually. But,
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I believe he might have been offered an afternoon shift. We're just waiting to find out if he's going to take it.
Okay. I see. Okay. Well, there was a.
Well, listen, I'm not doing anything between 2 and 4 in the morning.
Well,
I could pre-tape.
That's right. Well,
I bet that'd be a pretty great show. Actually,
thank you.
A couple items of business. I do want to encourage. We have actually an email now. Flashback@klbbradio.com. Flashback@klbbradio.com. Show suggestions, comments, questions. The number here is 651-275-1220. If you want to say hi to Barry or have a question, feel free to give a call.
Oh, yeah.
Barry likes to talk to his fans, his legions of fans.
All three of them.
So, yes. Barry, so besides, so you're working with the Poland organization and the
Kids Against Hunger.
What else are you doing? What else fills a day in Barry's life?
A little bit of sleep. I ask, a lot of times people say, well, do voiceovers or do such and such, and that happens occasionally. But I, the producing of the documentaries is, part of it. It's a mixed bag, and it's so funny because I had a friend, he owned Boyne Mountain, Michigan, and he owned Big Sky, Montana, too, until he died. His family still owns it. His name was Everett Kircher over in Michigan, and he said, Barry, he said, this is when he was 75, and he said, I'm running out of time, and I haven't done half of what I want to do in my life. And I said, Everett, are you crazy? And he said, no. He said, when you reach that age, I hope you do, you'll know that there's so much more to do. And I swear to you, a lot of people, as you know, I webcast and blog for the Star Tribune and for KSTP.com.
Well, let's talk about that, actually. It's senior moment. It's on StarTribune.com. And how many times a week do you do this?
Just once a week.
Once a week, okay.
That's all they could handle. That's all they need.
They could handle? Okay.
Yeah, that's all I can handle. But no, it's kind of like a poor man's Andy Rooney. And just various
That's
subjects.
Debatable.
Okay, a very poor man's Andy
no,
Rooney.
No, no.
Extremely poor?
I'd rather listen to you than Andy Rooney any day.
Not me. Thank you for that wonderful compliment. I thought he was phenomenal, and I miss him. I miss seeing 60 Minutes with his tag. But the thing about doing that is, God bless them, they just let me run with anything that's on my mind. And like this past week for the blog part, I did a piece on bubblegum. I'm a bubblegum aficionado.
Okay.
I know everything about Bazooka Joe and Jawbreakers, but my passion is Double Bubble. And when I lived in D.C., my wife and I told her, I said, I want to go up to the Frank H. Fleer Corporation where they make Double Bubble Gum in Philadelphia. So I said, I'm sure they have tours. So I called up, and they said, no, we will not let anybody in. We had people from other bubble gum companies spy on what we were doing, and we canceled our tours years ago. I mean, Betty Crocker's canceled their tours because of the same thing.
Suddenly it feels like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
This is, didn't know all this intrigue was going on in the food-making business.
Well, especially bubble gum. So anyway, they said no, and it wrecked my life. I'll never see how they made Double Bubble. So now a Canadian firm has picked up the baton, and they're running with it, and they make Double Bubble. You can get a pound of it. I won't name the drugstores, but at your favorite drugstore, 1 pound bags of Double Bubble. They don't call it Fleer's Double Bubble anymore. They call it America's Double Bubble. It tastes almost the same, but they don't have the funnies in. They had little funnies with a character named Pud.
And, sure.
Oh, gee. And young people listening to your show today say, is this guy from the 1800s or the 1700s?
That's okay. The last time I had bubblegum, I think Reagan was president. Hubba Bubba was, that was kind of, that
well,
was,
that's right,
that, was the eight, that was the 80s big thing.
I was always a Bazooka Joe man.
Well, those are good. I mean,
they
those
still
good
have
too.
Funnies.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, that's, again, a public service to the audience. We found out, that Pocket Fisherman, the Mr. Microphone, can inspire broadcast careers and actually, spawn successful careers and Hubba Bubba.
Yeah. And
double bubble.
Right. Now, going back to Ron Popeil, as you know, I created one of the documentaries I did was called, I produced, was called Television the First 50 Years, and that was back in 1998. And I was actually on TV 2 years before television began in the U.S. I was on a show in New York City called King's Party Line where Bill Cullen was the announcer,
wow,
let alone all the great stuff he did in later years. But anyway, two of the interviewees for this documentary were Madeline Pugh Davis and Bob Carroll Jr. They wrote the Lucy Show, I Love Lucy, and all the other Lucy shows. And I asked them how they got the idea for the candy factory. And they said all they did, they knew that Lucy and Ethel had to get a job. So they had to come up with an idea every week. And Desi, not Desi, they call him Desi. That's what Lucy called him, said, come up with a job for Lucy and Ethel. So they said they just would look in the yellow pages and whatever they turned to, that was going to be it. And, of course, they turned to candy factory, candy manufacturing. But they also said about the Vegematic, they kind of played with the name Vegematic and made it longer. They didn't name him, but thanks to the commercial, or the infomercial about the Vegematic, that's how they came up with that.
An iconic half-hour TV that it is. Guest again today is Barry Zavan. This is Flashback Twin Cities. If you want to see Barry Zavan, now you can either find him on the street or, well, you know, when you're doing that, I didn't mean that
you.
Way. Or you can yell peekaboo at Lunds or go to tcmedianow.com. We have some great video that Barry was kind enough to lend me. Barry doing the weather at Channel 5 and Channel 11. We have some video of Barry doing the weather in Detroit and D.C.
And on the satellite news channels.
Satellite news channel.
Paul Douglas, and that's where we first met in Connecticut. But I have to say thank you to Tom, because had he not started TC Media Now, none of these great memories would ever be seen. So
we were talking about the Golden Nugget sign, it's probably in a warehouse right now. And we did a show, one of our first shows actually was on the big fire downtown Minneapolis when Donaldson's went in flames and the Northwest Bank building went in flames.
Yep.
The big weather ball was stored at the State Fair, I think, for 18, 20 years. It was stored at the State Fair in some warehouse. And as things go, like when you're going through your closet or going through your basement and you see something you haven't touched in a long time, you get rid of it. And that's, that's the, I think what I'm trying to do. We had a guest on last week who, all he did was he collects photographs and slides of Minneapolis. And they're great photographs. It's great parts of history to see what our town was like, see what our community was like. And that's what I'm trying to do with, get these videos and, take snapshots in time. We can't go back in time. We can't go back in the time machine. The DeLorean that, from Back to the Future has not been built yet. But we can go try to do that through, luckily through the internet, luckily through some of these social media forums, good and bad groups. And we get a lot of hits on Barry's video and a lot of questions about what Barry's doing. You also did a lot of skiing, and a lot of people remember you for your ski shows.
Oh, yeah. That was a joy, too. I had actually done one. A series in Las Vegas before I came here, and then Johnny Morris had the ski scene here, and when I came they said, why don't you pick up the baton on that one and continue the ski scene. So it evolved into some really great shows. We did 500 half hours on KSTP between 1970, whenever I got there, late 70 through 74, and then when I moved to D.C. I did the same thing in Detroit. But when I was in D.C., the ambassador from Iran, the Shah was still in power, said, we have skiing in Iran. And he said, we'd like you to do a film. So I took Billy Kidd and Susie Chaffee over there. I was actually there twice. Barbara Walters insulted the Shah the first time, so we weren't able to film. But anyway, Barbara's retiring next year. Bad Barbara. Anyway.
Was she your neighbor in D.C. too?
Oh, no.
Oh, she no. In New York, wasn't
I met her only once, extremely briefly, at the Kennedy Center at an intermission of a show. But so I filmed in Iran, and as you have it on your
It's a great video. It's a great video.
Thank you. It was on HBO for a year, and then the revolution began, but thank you for that. And it was a joy to make. But the skiing in Iran is phenomenal. The Shah built 4 ski areas for all the Westerners who were helping mm-hmm. the country. And then Khomeini, when he took over in the revolution, he allowed the ski areas to remain open, but only men could ski.
Only men. Or drive or do a lot of other things,
breathe,
too.
Or breathe, yeah.
And so what year were you in? Were you in Iran one time for that documentary?
No, twice.
Twice.
Yeah, it was 1976 and 77, or 77 and later in 77.
We are
it was a nine-month.
A generation removed of even thinking we could go to Iran. I mean, that's amazing that, and someday, we'll see what happens, right?
Beautiful country.
Well, Barry, any message to your fans?
Thank you.
Barry's been great having you again.
Thank you, sir.
We have a mystery guest next week. I hope he can come on. Otherwise, we'll find some things to talk about. This is Flashback Twin Cities on Club 1220 KLBB.